Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. As the stones rained down on Stephen, he still knew the way. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he knew where he was going, and he knew who would take him there. He knew the way to life everlasting, because he knew and he believed in Jesus. In his last hour, Stephen sees the glory of God. He sees Jesus in the heavens opened. He sees Christ standing at the right hand of God. And as God's stiff-necked, bloodthirsty enemies pelted Stephen with stone after stone, this faithful man of God only prayed for God to forgive them of their sin. And he prays for his Lord Jesus Christ to receive his spirit. Another way of praying for God to take him through the portal of death into life eternal. The death of Stephen, commonly referred to as the first Christian martyr, highlights a man who dies for confessing his Savior before a hostile crowd. Nevertheless, his faith was still intact. He knew his Savior. He knew death was not the end because he knew the way. He knew the truth. He knew the life that was his because Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he knew his sins had been put away. And he worshipped one who had risen from the dead. And he worshipped one who promises us that though we die, we live, because our God is a God of the living, not of the dead. Christ has conquered death, exiting the tomb on the third day. And he gives to you that victory, a life yours in baptism, a life that is yours, apprehended by that gift of faith that takes all of God's promises in Christ and makes them yours. Stephen had the resurrection of the body and life everlasting in the bag because of Jesus who died to give him this gift. And so he wasn't afraid. No, not even of death. And he even prays for God to pardon the sin of his enemies even while they relished his death. You're not all that different from Stephen, you know, insofar as you too know the way. And he is the Son of God. You know Jesus. And he has prepared a place for each and every one of you. Through death. Through resurrection, Christ not only pardons, purifies, and cleanses you of your sins, but by his work, you have access to his house of many rooms. You have access to a building of God prepared for you by Jesus, an eternal dwelling that will not corrupt and decay because of sin. It is because of Jesus that death now is only a portal to the house of God, a gateway to God's dwelling made yours by Jesus, who is the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. Stephen died confessing that. He died confessing salvation by way of Jesus, and he accuses his enemies of crucifying the very righteous one foretold by the prophets. They betrayed and they murdered the Son of God. And Stephen will tell them, the very law you received from Moses, that law that you cherish, the law by which you think salvation is yours, is the very law you did not keep. And when the enemies hear this, they become enraged. And they prove to be exactly as Stephen describes them, murderers who kill the prophets of God. As their fathers did to prophets of old, the Jews in Acts do to Stephen. They kill him because he confessed Christ as the way to God's salvation. There is no other way. There is no other path to eternal life apart from Jesus. But just as Stephen died for preaching this message, that fate is still a danger for the church today. If somebody were to ask me, what's the most dangerous religious teaching sweeping the landscape? I would say pluralism. Pluralism. And all that is the teaching that says all religions are equally valid, and so you can believe in whatever you wish without fear of eternal consequences. Pluralism, in all its forms, essentially says all belief systems will take you to the same place. So, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, agnostic, a deist, even a New Age hippie who believes in a higher power, but that's really it, in pluralism, all beliefs lead to the same destination, and so you are intolerant if you say one way is right and the other way is wrong. But here's the reason it's so dangerous, and that is this. Not only does it teach you must accept the validity of another religion's claims and teachings, but also that you must be tolerant of another person's behavior, even if it is forbidden by sacred scripture. Pluralism, you see, isn't just about living in peace with your Muslim neighbor next door. That Christians can and should do while maintaining our very important theological differences. That's not really the issue. More than that, pluralism teaches not only are all beliefs the same, but that you must tolerate even a belief in sinful behavior. Human sexuality, abortion. Friends, these are real issues facing the church today. And the church cries out against them, speaking against a world, a culture that sees these things, that sees these issues as ones which people can do with whatever they please. There are no limits. Who are you, O church, to say otherwise? You better get in line. People of God, against all of that, our Lord Jesus says this very clearly. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in that statement, I want to point out, not only is that an admonition against chasing other gods and other teachings thinking they will save you, but also in that statement, we find real comfort and we find real consolation. In that statement of Christ, we have the comfort of knowing no matter how confused we get, no matter how disoriented by life's many twists and turns, the many curveballs that it throws at us, despite all of that, dear Christian friends, you know the way. You know and you possess the straight, clear, perfect path to your God. It is all yours freely through Christ. I realize and understand that you probably don't stay awake at night worrying about someone showing up on your doorstep saying you now have to be agnostic or a deist or a Muslim. We have heard, and we hear it from God's word, homosexuality and all the deviant forms of sexual immorality are egregious sins before our Lord and our God. We have heard and we know our opinions never are to rise to the same level as God's holy word, the sacred scriptures. That's all one thing. But friends, the devil doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there in his quest to pull you away from God's riches and his mercies and trust in Christ. Perhaps pluralism doesn't keep you up at night. That's okay, but it may be something else. It may be something like worrying about daily bread. Where are you going to get your next meal? Where's the money going to come from now that you've lost your job? That might keep you up. If a tragedy happens in your life, you may find yourself crying out to the heavens, God, what did I do to deserve this? That'll bother you at night. And sometimes life in general in this fallen, sinful world becomes so chaotic, so confusing, we get paralyzed by fear, not knowing where to go, where to turn. Every choice seems bad. Every decision seems like a sin, and we lose our way. We overlook and we forget the clear and certain way that your God has given you. Friends, worry, fear, anxiety, depression, all of those things, they have no place in the Christian life. Even if you don't know what is around the bend, as so often is the case, there is something you do know. And it will take you to a place that no job, no career, no human works and merits will take you to. You have a place prepared for you. A building with many rooms. Heaven. A building of God made not by hands, but prepared for you, O Christian, by the shed blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says to you, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. God forgives you all of your sins for the sake of Jesus. He is the way to life everlasting, and he promises to take you to be with himself, and that where he is, you will be also. When your conscience is stricken, when you feel that feeling of guilt swell up inside of you, God says, let not your heart be troubled. And friends, the Father says that because he sent his Son to pour out his blood, to rise again for all of your sins. And this act of love, this act of God's undying, never-ending grace has paved the way into his heavenly abode. And it's a way that is yours by faith in God, faith in Christ through whom heaven is yours, and not even the world can take that away. And so I conclude. Yes, the world will clamor and rage, saying there are many ways, many paths. Like Stephen, you may be called one day to give the good confession of faith, and it may cost you your life. Sometimes the world, sinful as it is, we find ourselves confused, disoriented, and we lose track of the clear way before us. Friends, you have the way. The path has been paved. He has done the work for you. His name is Jesus, and he says unto you, let not your hearts be troubled. And he promises you, where he is, you will be also. He will never leave you. But friends, he has prepared for you. He has prepared for you a place with many rooms. And he promises his children he will take you to be in that place with him for eternity. Thus says our Lord and our God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.